Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And remember, to include the name The Scoreless Thriller Podcast in your application. Thank you.
Man there trying to stop Drunk from getting himself into further trouble.
It's a fucking disgrace.
Oh, it's not a bad ball for Pelle on the right side. It's Carlos Alberto. And what a great goal that was. Carlos Alberto.
Maradona just walked away from Hoddle then. Maldano. Hoddle.
Met het balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal. Heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp.
Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp.
Oh! Frank de Boer speelt de bal naar Dennis Bergkamp. Die neemt de bal feilloos aan. En hij schiet de bal erin.
Hallo. And welcome to the Scoreless Thriller Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Leon. Leon, how are you doing today?
A little tired, but very excited to be here.
Ah, okay. And we've got Mr. Danish Football with us again. Yannick is back on the podcast. Yannick, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
And we're excited to carry on our work from last week to go with this deep dive into Danish football. So we've narrowed down the field to four teams. Do you want to list out the four teams that we've got on the right now?
So we've got Nordsjælland. Then we've got Brøndby. Yannick, I'm looking at you to give me feedback. Then we've got Fremad. And last but not least, we've got
B. Nynäshamn.
We picked this particular club, right? Because they are kind of the nemesis, as you explained to us last time. Of Framalama.
Yeah, they're the traditional arch rivals because they are really next door neighbors, literally.
Okay. Mm. So that's why I thought maybe it would be interesting to look into these guys. But what do you know about them?
They were established in 1908.
Okay.
Hence the name.
That's the name?
Oh. Yeah.
The creative.
The B is for football club, so it's basically the football club of 1908.
Okay.
And yeah.
It's very common that there are lots of teams with like dates from like the early 20th century, right? It was like B, what are the other ones? B 1903? B 1903?
Yeah.
Another one?
Yeah, yeah. B 1905, B 93, B 1901, B 1921.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same in Germany.
Much, yeah, there's.
But usually the amateur leagues, though.
Yeah, yeah, most of them are now as well. But some of them were further up. B 1909.
Okay, so let's start with the biggest club on our list today. So let's talk about Brøndby. So would you say Brøndby are the kind of most historical, biggest club in Denmark? Or
No, but in my lifetime they are. So from from the 80s and forward, they definitely are the bigger club. But I must say that Copenhagen has surpassed
them.
Yeah, I don't know if this.
But would you mean surpass them in sort of success, or also like fan wise, or just like in what way have they kind of surpassed?
I guess it's on the field. I would say I wouldn't say surpass that
success
word.
On the
that
pitch.
That was Leon, so I will never use the word surpass for FC Copenhagen.
Give me a Copa.
But I think they are. I mean. In recent years, they've done better than Brøndby, both nationally and internationally. But fan-wise, I think both clubs are still pretty much equally well supported. They're very well supported, both clubs.
But Brøndby's fan culture is very strong. You would
absolutely,
yeah.
And you know, that's me being with the tinted colored glasses or whatever it's called, but. My instinct is that there are more amongst the FC Copenhagen fans that would have a hard time supporting a club that didn't win all the time than there are in Brøndby. I could get kicked in the face for saying that in certain pubs in Copenhagen.
Prawn sandwich brigade.
I think there are more prawn sandwich brigade people, more fair weather fans among the that definitely are in Brøndby as well. But my hunch is that there are more.
But is this just intuitive, or do you know, like, someone it's a fan of
gut feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Gut feeling. I know some fans, but the ones I know, they're proper fans,
die hard.
But I just see it's when you're at the ground, some of the people you see and meet, and especially some like the celebrity fans of FC Copenhagen. I despise them all.
Can you give some names?
Well,
do you know whether Margrethe is a fan of any football club?
I don't know.
What about the guy from Game of Thrones? Is he FC Copenhagen fan? I'm just naming like the only Danish celebrities I know.
I didn't know Game of Thrones. I don't know who's in Game of Thrones.
Oh, popular culture's reference lost on him. Which are the ones that actually support FC Copenhagen? Like the celebs?
Yeah, for instance, that
Nicolai Costa-Waldo.
Okay,
came up with a name. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. That's good. He could be one of them. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Have you been to the Derby many times?
Well, 5-ish times, something like that, I guess.
And
was there a good one? A good Derby, like a spicy.
Yeah, yeah, like a cup final.
I mean,
or something.
The best one that I've been to that was maybe 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I think it was in Brøndby.
Okay.
And Brøndby hadn't beaten FC Copenhagen for quite a while, and they beat them on a very late goal, and I was there with some three Americans that I was introducing to proper football. And we were standing at the south end, at the upper part of south end though, so crazy but not too crazy.
Yeah.
Fans, and things got absolutely crazy. And
pure ecstasy.
There was just as much beer in the air as oxygen, I think, at one point. So,
is there ever much?
That was a lot of fun. That was a great game.
Is there ever sort of like much violence? But when in the derby in Copenhagen,
there used to be. There was a period where the Brøndby FC Copenhagen game was associated with a lot of violence, but it was. Usually a group from each that had more or less decided on going, showing up and smashing each other. But there's been some more incidents. And there's been a lot of vandalism in connection with the games.
But
and I can't say that any team's worse or better than the other, I think.
Is hooliganism a problem in Danish football?
No, I wouldn't say
so. Like, not at all?
Would you say it ever was? Like, how about in like the 80s?
In the 80s, yeah, there was like, even less. I mean, it didn't follow like the...
Like in England?
No, it didn't follow that, no. Really. There were just, in the 80s, it was very peaceful going, and also that not that many went because it had only just started, really, the sort of resurgence the appearance of Danish football on the international scene.
Oh, okay. What brought that about? As in, what was the sort of growth or the heyday of?
Well, I think one of the things was that as late as 1977 that we got professional football.
Okay.
And it was actually semi-pro to begin with. It used to be all amateur, and the Football Association was actually against it for many years. But then it came about, and then also at some point we got a German coach for the national team who changed it to a more professional outlook, basically, and that changed a lot of things as well. We got a few international coaches for Danish clubs as well. And then just in time, and also with the luck of good generations with some good players, then sort of mid-80s we had some success. It actually started in the early 80s. We qualified for the European Championships in France in 82. That was sort of the breakthrough, you could say. And that sort of kick-started things a bit. And then the club football was probably another 10 years later than that before it really...
Okay, so it kind started. Of coincided, because when I read about Brøndby, like the between 1985 and 2005, they won 10 league titles, which is like their one. That's how many they've won. They haven't won it since.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was their
yeah.
sort of yeah. dominant period.
Yeah, that was the heyday, absolutely. Yeah, and they did quite well in Europe a couple of times. You know, they went to the, was it semi or quarterfinal? I forget.
Okay.
But quite close.
Hmm. And like just looking at like average attendances for the league, they're the second highest. Behind FC Co.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the difference? Is it big?
Like 1,000. Like okay. 1,000. But yeah. there's more than they're like they're more than double the third placed team in average of
yeah.
of average attendance.
Which is what, Midtjylland?
Yeah. Midtjylland.
Yeah. And this was from last season, right?
Yeah.
1920. Yeah. Yeah. But I would say that one of the reasons that's my claim, of course, is that one of the reasons that FC Copenhagen is doing better. In terms of attendance, is that they are doing better. So in that sense, I think
that's like fluctuation.
In brackets, prove my theory that Brøndby are the more well-supported club.
Because Brøndby have quite a new stadium as well.
Even when they do poorly, they have a
pretty good attendance. They attract the fans.
Yeah.
And the other thing is kind of fluctuation due to success.
Yeah, I think so. That's my...
Okay.
But I would also say that in time, I think this will even out. Because, as I think I mentioned in the last podcast, that a lot of the people younger than me, and especially those sort of 15, 20 years younger than me, they basically grew up with this club. So for them, it is their club. It's not just some sort of merger on top of original
FCK,
clubs.
You mean, though?
Yeah.
If you compare like the enthusiasm and the fan culture and kind of the vibe that you get in the stadium, What's the major difference? Or is there none?
I think that's impossible for me to answer because I am so...
You're so biased.
So biased, yeah.
But then give us your biased opinion on this.
Yeah. Yeah, it is super biased. But I think, to me, like for instance, the TIFOs in the FC Co, they tend to become... more sort of high flying and a lot of sort of Viking stuff, but then again, there's a lot of that stuff in Brøndby as well. It's I'm just super biased. I just feel more at home at Brøndby Stadium than I do at Parken.
Yeah, okay.
Mm.
Unless it's a national game, then I'm at home.
Then it doesn't matter.
I know. I asked you this before the pod, but can you give us like the line of the first line of the song?
Yeah, yeah. What is like the
when they
the
go
Brøndby
into the
chants.
Stadium, you know, or just okay, just start by like announcing them, introducing them in Danish, like you know the guy in the stadium does.
Oh yeah, but
like creating the hype,
it's selling the
team.
But it's been too long, and there's not one song in Brøndby. But there is this one with Google and Blow, and I looked up the lyrics. It's on a song. The original song is called Susan Himmelblå. The lyrics go, gul og blå, du alt jeg tænker på. Havde jeg to liv, så gav jeg dem begge til dig, men jeg kan ikke spå.
I love this.
It's so sweet. It's like a kid's poem.
Yeah.
Which, can you say the lines
in
English?
It was written by H.C. Anderson.
It actually doesn't make that much sense.
Because it's like, still. if I had two lives, I'd give them both to you, right? Or what?
Yeah, yeah. So it's yellow and blue. Yeah. You are all that I think of. If I had two lives, I would give them both to you, but I cannot... predict into the future.
But I cannot predict into the future. Very sour.
Yeah, I mean, the start does make sense to me, but then they kind of lose me towards the end.
It's like they kind of lose the commitment of the song halfway through. They're like, well, actually...
Maybe that's what a lot of fans fear, right? Like, they wish they just had two lives. Because sometimes football takes up a lot of your time, right? Especially on the weekend. You're supposed to hang out with your family, you know, spend some quality time with everyone, but then you just want to go nuts and drink and watch the derby.
I'm not sure it's this deep, Leon.
Okay. That's what this song means to me, I feel.
I find it interesting that, you know, despite them being sort of historically a very successful Danish club, you're quite happy to go along and support them. And I'm wondering whether it's a genuine affection for them or just because they're the anti-FC Co.
Well, the last bit is a big part of it. And I really support Hobbekøe. So Brøndby is sort of my go-to team for the top league when we are not there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just, you know, if they win, at least it's not FC Co. That's the main thing. But also, quite a lot of my friends are Brøndby fans, and I've been to the ground quite a lot. And I do think that they have a fantastic atmosphere, mm-hmm. I must say.
Okay.
So my heart is maybe not the yellow and blue. But if it's definitely not white and blue.
But so if you were to have a friend come to Copenhagen and you were to take them to a game, you would definitely take them to a Brøndby game.
No question.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
The only time I've taken people to Parken is when they played Brøndby.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only time I was there.
Yeah.
For the derby.
Yeah. Ah, okay. All right. So I think we've done enough on Brøndby. Let's move on to FC Nordsjælland, and these are another one of these lovely, what do you call them? Merger clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Based out in Farum. But you were telling me before we came on air that they have a certain reputation because of where the money came from for their growth. Do you want to
dig a little deeper into this? Yeah, quite early on, they had a very charismatic...
And this is early 2000s, we should say, right?
And even before that... a lot of this started even before when they were quite far down in the leagues.
Okay. Yeah, so they formed as Farum Ball Club in 1991 and then changed to FC Nordsjælland in 2003.
Yeah, so they had this very charismatic and a bit controversial mayor for many years, Brixtofte. And he was really into football and he was very engaged in getting this club promotions and they were very helpful to get the club and also the handball club very good facilities and with time they got this very nice stadium they've got up there and a very good handball arena as well, and he put a lot of money in it and they eventually made it to the Superliga, and then they created this Nordsjælland where they made this elite sort of top
facility
of the club that was FC Nordsjælland, with a backing of a lot more smaller clubs, which basically means that they are to a certain degree feeder clubs to the youth system of Nordsjælland, as far as understood. And during this time, this mayor was really instrumental in putting a lot of money both into the club and into especially the facilities and the football ground and stuff. Problem was that quite a bit of that money came from the municipal coffers, and he didn't really follow the rules. I don't remember the details of how he did it, but he illegally transferred money to the football club.
Whoops.
And also I don't remember to which degree the football club was involved, but he ended up actually getting I don't know if embezzlement is the right word, but it's something similar to embezzlement. So basically, he ended up serving prison for having gone behind the back of the mule.
Well, he got convicted for this.
Yeah, he got convicted.
There's another
some
stuff.
Years, I forget how many. But
this phenomenon of feeder clubs, don't you think that that's quite a natural thing to happen? Like in Hamburg, I feel like there are a lot of feeder clubs that build up youth teams. Mm. And then at one point, they'll, like the Hamburger Sportverein or just St. Pauli, they'll of course, you know, cherry pick the best players from these clubs.
Yeah, but then...
And then take them over.
There are In this guy, this system, it's formalized, basically. Brilliant. So they have first pick, you could say, of their talent, rather than someone, some other clubs coming in. Like, for instance, in the Greater Copenhagen area, there's quite a lot of clubs at the in the first two tiers, and so a lot of those clubs will be interesting for young people to go to.
Yeah.
So the clubs that are connected to FC Nordsjælland, and I think I know it's the same for I think pretty much every top one and two tier clubs in Denmark, probably.
Yeah.
That they have a network of clubs where they have some sort of formalized agreement that, you know, your top 10 and tell us about them before anybody else.
So it's kind of them. Like a gang area.
Yeah.
Like
and then in a way. But then at the same time, they also help them with stuff. You know, they get, you know, their best players in these smaller clubs, get some of the trainers out from some of the top trainers and stuff like that. So it goes both ways.
Yeah.
The little I know from about this is from Hobie Curry, and I know some of the local clubs down there, they get sort of higher skilled coaches in, and also get coaching lessons. The small club coaches go to the bigger clubs to get coaching lessons and stuff like that. Mm.
So it seems kind of a natural development professionalization of football in Denmark.
You could say that.
But also they have this academy which they're linked to in Ghana, right? Where they develop players there for their team in Nordsjælland.
Yeah, so both the Ghanaian one and also just the academy they have with themselves. They, I forget when, but at some point they basically decided to invest a lot in talent development, and the Ghanaian part was part of that. The Ghanaian academy.
Okay.
And they've got quite a few players into, at least into Danish football, and I think some of them beyond as well.
Yeah, I saw some of their players that they developed there now playing in the US and stuff like this. But they kind of have a reputation as being the club good for developing young players.
Yeah, and quite early on, it's varied a little bit from manager to manager, but quite a few of the managers up there have been quite willing to use young players and give them a chance, and put them into the top tier league, even if they were only 18, 19, 20. Yeah.
But fan culture wise, it's not a particularly strong.
Yeah, no, I think that it's a little boring. But also, I mean, they're just not that many. I think we looked it up earlier today, and in their best season, they were about 5,000 something. Which in Denmark is actually, to be fair, a pretty decent one.
Yeah,
but that was the only year.
It's down to less than 2,000.
Yeah, but that was somewhat corona hit, maybe that number as well.
Yeah,
was the cliffhanger of the last pod, right?
Yeah.
We told us at the end that they don't have any fan support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we were like, okay, off
yeah,
the
yeah,
list.
But I'm interested in like the youth development stuff and also like this side with connections.
And I think what stuck with me was that you said that they play positive football.
Yeah,
that's my impression. At least that I think that generally they tend to be quite entertaining to watch.
Hmm.
And they've had to... Also because you know that they'll come with some new exciting talent quite frequently, and you will see these young players doing really well at the top level in Danish football.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's now move on to the club a few hundred meters away from us.
Excitement levels are rising. You can hear it in Alex's voice.
The lovely
edge of my seat.
I'm very worried about each time I say it, whether it's correct. Like, if I met someone on the street and say, Fema Ama, or do I even say the Ama bit? Because then I looked at someone else and they just say, like, Fremel. Oh.
Yeah, I think you would have to be very, very, very local to just call it Fremel.
Fremel.
Okay.
I think most people would say Fremel Ama.
Fremel
Ama.
Yeah.
just say it as fast as possible and then it'll
Fremel Ama.
Yeah.
Where do we begin with Fremel Ama? Because when I looked at their history, they sort of very much, they've always been a kind of lower league club. I think when I looked at it the last time they were in the Superliga was in 1994. So where, you know, what do you know, what is the kind of general perception of Fremama?
Well, I would say that, you know, in early days, I think the 60s and 70s, they were a top tier club as far as I remember. At least in history, they have been in the top league many times. And it is a big club, and I would say everybody in Denmark knows Fremadama. It's a there's a lot of history in that club, and traditionally they also produced quite a few players for the national team and stuff. So it is a big club historically.
But why has it got a big like reputation historically if they've always been sort of like they've never been a really big team? Is it just sort of their values or like the image of them or how it portrays itself?
Yeah, maybe a combination, but also they had a period of a poor economy. I think, did they go bust 3 times or something?
Yeah, that's what I said, the record in Danish football.
Yeah, so they are, but also typical for them, they come back. After each of those times, they'll come back. They'll get someone to raise money, they will get back into the
But what happens when you go bankrupt?
Well, here you're relegated out of the leagues, so out of the...
So you have to start at the very first, like, lowest division.
No, I think it's...
Again.
I forget if it's the fourth or the fifth
year. Yeah, maybe you jump into, like,
I think
the
maybe you have to go into
like
the regional ones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. So that would be Copenhagen, Copenhagen series, and then Denmark. And I don't know if it's that far down or if it's just Denmark.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just outside of the semi-pros.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not entirely sure, actually. I don't remember. But either way, they came back. And they've also, did a merger with some of the other clubs. I think possibly B1908 was part of that, actually.
I don't think it was. So when I looked at it, it was with Dragør, Kastrup and Kloermarke.
Oh, yeah, KFB.
Yeah. And that was in 2008. They tried this short merger to make FC Amager, but it only lasted 8 months.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, I think it was mainly financial issues, I think. And also, I think there were some internal stuff. I think Kestrel weren't really keen on it.
Mergers so amazing. Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, in English football, people being okay with their club.
No, but I just wonder.
Merging
Yeah, but it's just a different stage of football development and professionalism. Like, maybe this happened in early day English football too, right? You'll just have, like, super local clubs, and then at one point it just makes sense to compete on a more national level that you merge with other clubs. But of course, in England, this happened, like, way back.
Yeah.
But now in Denmark, since football became professional only that late, that's now what we talk about.
Yeah.
But in England, it's all forgotten.
Yeah, but it was still, I mean, FC Kobe, for instance, it was quite controversial between some fans of Kobe or B1903. They weren't necessarily all happy with this.
But they're not the most recent. I think there's been another Superliga mergers.
Oh, yeah. Nordsjælland was later. Midtjylland was later.
So it continues to happen. It's not as if.
Randers was later.
Okay.
So,
just quick question between Midtjylland, how happy are you that they made it to the Champions League, or not so much? Because I felt like this was like a concrete question for what we talked about earlier in the last pod, right? Whether you would support a club that you don't feel that excited about just because they're Danish.
Yeah. See, you know, it was fun to see them lose to Atalanta quite convincingly. At the same time, it's also a little sad because it shows the state of Danish club football compared to Italian, and maybe even worse is that it means that we don't gain as many points for places in the European leagues next year.
Yeah,
which is a pity.
So don't support the team, support the coefficient. That's the rule.
The coefficient. That was the word I was looking for.
No, but that's a crucial question always when Munich plays.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I presume everybody in Germany is anybody but Bayern. Right.
Yeah, everyone except for the Bayern fans. Yeah,
Leipzig.
Yeah,
Leipzig too. Yeah, no one likes them too. But I feel like the antagonism versus Bayern is stronger.
Stronger than Leipzig?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but
I'm
it just
sure.
Yeah, but it because it's been growing for so many years. Like Bayern Munich, it's like an institution. Like even people who don't go to like football matches that often, they kind of know that you are against Munich, right?
Mm.
But just because like it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
With kind of Leipzig, it's within the maybe hardcore football scene. Yeah. Then definitely people will be very much against
them. So the people who aren't that invested in football culture yeah. don't really know about. No, the
It doesn't ring a bell with them. Yeah. But Bayern Munich definitely does. Mm, like the Toten Hosen song, there's one about them and stuff. Like people will know this shit. So.
Because I think when I remember reading an article, I think maybe it was not last season, but the season before, when it looked like it would be like a Leipzig versus Bayern title race, and I was struck by, you know, they asked all these sort of ultras or like fan groups around Germany from these teams, and I kind of expected them to be rooting for Leipzig just for like a different winner of the league, and they were all like very adamant that like they want Bayern to win, they don't want to recognize RB at all.
Yeah,
you know?
No, with the ultras I totally see this. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But then in general, like in the broader football culture, which also includes like the non-diehard fans, I feel like, yeah, Munich is more of a people that more of a club that people rally against than Leipzig.
So if I was to go along to a Amma game, what is the kind of sort of fan culture, or what would you kind of expect would be the kind of hallmarks of? I know it's on a smaller scale, but would people be as kind of diehard as they would be in for Brøndby or something? Or
you will find some, a lot fewer, but you will find some people that will go to all the home games, even some that will go to most of the away games as well. I think it's my impression that it's quite sort of family type thing. There's quite a few who bring their family there. It's the same at the other clubs as well, of course, but here it's very much like a neighborhood club, so it's a very local club in many ways. So you know, you'll meet your neighbor down there, or the guy from the supermarket and things like that. So it is very much a local team.
What is the situation in Denmark with sort of fan-owned clubs? Because I was kind of surprised. I thought Framalama would be a fan-owned club, but then it's like 80% a you know, investment corporation. Is there any sort of fan-owned clubs, or is it all sort of mostly outside investment limited?
Yeah. No, I would say that usually there's some sort of rich guy behind it, or a consortium or something like that. I don't think there's any sort of particular fan-owned clubs, not that I know of. I think possibly at Frem, that's out in Valby, third tier club, I think possibly they started something like that at some point, but I think it's still like a group of companies that basically own it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there are no initiatives but to build up fan base.
No, but also in many cases those companies will often be like smaller local companies that go together and buy the club together, and they are basically fans that just happen to own companies.
Yeah.
So they can do it. I think that's so it's a lot like it used to be in the lower leagues in the UK before money, even in lower leagues.
Yeah.
Once it started getting so competitive that they needed more money.
So before we decide on our final answer, I found this quick flowchart online for deciding your Superliga club. So we're going to go through this now with Yannick and Leon to see if the decision that we come to we're happy with. Now, it doesn't include Fremo-Ama because it's just Superliga, so we're going to have to bear that in mind. But let's go through this and see what we come up with.
Okay, just one quick question, Yannick. If it turns out that you're an FC Köln fan by this flowchart, then will you accept the verdict?
No. Now then, I lay down a veto on this podcast being broadcasted.
We'll do a GoFundMe for a season ticket. Or no. We'll pay for you to be like one of the kids, like
the boys,
the mascot,
or girls, or girls running in the running in the stadium, holding the hand of the captain.
I'll switch with one of the kids to run out with the opposing team. Then,
okay,
no. Okay, question one: do you like winning silverware?
No.
Worst thing I know.
Do you like good football? What is good football?
It's such a triggering question. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And youth development?
Yeah. That's important. That's the basic of your future, man.
What about a shady like business practice model and some shady owners?
Ooh, no. I'm all for moral principalism. No, no shady owners.
No, no. What about some good results as well?
I mean, that's kind of like the first question. No, no, okay. Some good results.
Yeah,
yeah. I like some good results. You want to like cheer every now and then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So you is come to your decision that you should support FC Nordsjælland.
Huh.
Yeah, but see, this, I was thinking that already at question two, that the people who made this set it up to let it find the clubs they want you to find.
Okay.
Because, I mean, for instance, this with the shady thing. I mean, they got their, Nordsjælland got part of their clubs from a guy who, from a mayor who siphoned money from.
Yeah, that's weird.
You know, so that's why.
If
has had some issues with some people in their board at some point, and now they seem to be fine, and, you know, so it, yeah.
So if you had said yes to the shady business one, it would have taken you to Vejle. But what about Vejle? Is there some bad business up with Vejle?
Not that I know of.
I don't know.
Did you read the map correctly?
They actually also joined the merger at some point, Riley.
Yeah, I did read it correctly.
Okay, fair enough. Because we do know that there was some shady bit with business with Nordsjælland.
Yeah, that's where it's
so,
weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about this. Anyway, it's my turn now.
Okay.
Do me.
Okay, I'll do you.
How are you ever going to fit Framalama into this?
We just assume Framalama is the right answer.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. No, shit. Listen to
that. That's what we're going to do. Okay, also, I've got like the suspicion that you know this by heart and you've like run this down like a million times and you know where you'll end up. But anyways, here we go. Exciting first question. Do you like winning silverware?
No.
No. Okay. So it takes you to the second question, which would be, do you like good football?
Nah.
You're just saying this to come up somewhere else different than me.
But okay, I mean, it's not the most important thing for me when I pick a club.
Okay. So here we go. How about youth development?
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Big fan. Oh, fantastic. How about the return of some local lads? I mean,
return from where? The coal mines, the war, the Somme.
All of this. Okay, this question is anyways kind of like it's not relevant because the decision is made anyways.
I think
here's the club. No.
No, I hate the local lads. No, take me back. I hate them.
It's too late. It's too late to turn back. This is a one way street, and this one way street leads towards Framalama.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
I can't believe I didn't see them on the board
earlier.
They're
not even on the map, but you still found your way to them. No. Actually, it's like Orbi. Orbi.
Orbi.
Orbi.
The O or the two A's?
The two A's?
Yeah, Orbi. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, you pronounced it fine. It's just that it's not necessarily the easiest.
Is that the Odense club?
Yeah, the Orbi and Orbi. You can see how that could easily be. So I just wanted to make sure that...
Oh, one is Owen, so one is Elbow.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a place in Germany where you can buy screwdrivers and stuff.
Okay.
That's pretty...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's quite a problem with this flowchart, because if you say yes to the first question about like liking silverware... You're basically on a one-way street to either FC Köln or Michelin.
But it's also, I mean, if you... Then the second one is, do you like good football? First of all, it's... what is good for football? Some people prefer a good, strong defense. Some of us like tiki-taka. You know. So
I'd argue that tiki-taka is
and
good
also
football.
Which
club, I think...
And good, strong defense
which
is...
club fits in... Which club fits into this? That's also to some degree quite
It fluctuates teams. Like some teams are always
and
good
sometimes
football.
It's very dependent on which manager they have. If they change manager, they might switch to another style in time. And
okay, let's turn this around. Yannick, ask us one question that you want us to answer, or two or three, and then decide which team suits us best. How would you make this better?
Well, I mean, the ideal way.
Yeah.
I said that the last time as well, but it's not really compatible with current Corona times. Mm, but the ideal way was to these ones that you singled out, to go to a home and away game from each of those teams.
Yeah.
To get the atmosphere and see which one captures your heart the most. But since you can't do that...
But you know us well enough, I think, to have a good idea as to what we would enjoy. Cheap beers. Football.
Yeah. I think Farnham's out.
Yeah.
Northland is out?
Yeah, because it's a little boring. And the football is pretty good, but the atmosphere is not.
Yeah, I feel very stale.
If they play a small team that doesn't bring many fans, somewhere from a small team from far away, then it's a little dull up there.
Okay, three teams left.
And then then it's a question of, do you want the big league football or do you want local football? And in local football, are B1908 still in this?
Yeah, just about. I mean, I kind of forgot about them, but yeah.
They do an awesome job at selling them.
At the current stage, they still play quite a few games at places where there's not even a barrier around the pitch, right?
Don't have to buy tickets.
No, yeah, you just show up.
Just show up.
Yeah, it depends who they play, and I don't know if they themselves charge when you go. It's definitely low league.
Maybe this is feasible though, if we limit it to these to two clubs.
Yeah,
which would be Framme, and then B1908. Then maybe we could make a whack. Go check them out, see how we feel.
Yeah, I think that would be the best idea. Because I feel like I'm not going to support Bromby. I think they're just too big.
It's too mainstream for me. Is what you're saying.
It's exactly my voice. No, I want. You agree though, right?
I completely agree. I think that would be boring. Like, if the outcome of all of this would be Bromby, then we could have just not done it. Like, I knew about them. We knew about them before, right? We want to find out something new about Danish football culture, about the Danish Copenhagen area clubs that are playing and stuff. So I feel like this leads us in the right direction where we want to go.
Yeah.
And for either of those teams, their pitches are, I mean, you can see them from the kitchen window here, right? So it's pretty close to where your podcast is taking place.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I think we've come full circle to our general conclusion that we're going to check out both Famalama and B1908, and then we'll see But can't we support both? No, we can't because they're rivals. How would you feel about us supporting
then
both?
Then again, who would know? They wouldn't know until they meet in the cup again. Or if Framme gets relegated, which looks pretty unlikely at the moment.
They lost the last game, right?
But how exciting would it be to support... Framme Amma won 5-1 last night.
The match before. Okay.
Yeah, how exciting would it be we're going to support Famalama this season, and this is the first season they get back up to the top flight since 1994.
That would be an awesome start
to our fanboyism.
So let's have it parked as B1908 and Famalama for now, and we're written in pencil that we're supporting Famalama, but we won't decide for fully until we've seen both of them.
Yeah, and I'm excited to do that. Excited to get out there and see them
score
play.
Score a sort of podcast on tour.
Yeah.
So this is kind of sums up our podcast, two-part series on Danish football. Thank you, as always, Leon.
It was very exciting. And I have to say that this was something completely new, and I learned a lot about clubs I had not heard too much about before.
As a result, Danish culture and
exactly. So much value taken from this. Thank you, Yannick.
Well, you're welcome. And also, we to a great deal ignored most of the country, which is also quite
but that's what you have to do for practical reasons. There's only so many things you can look into.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah,
that's the nature.
We do live in Copenhagen.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope also that we didn't put you on the spot, right? Because you had to tell a lot about different clubs and also sometimes a bit of, you know, trash talking.
Yeah.
Hope that they're not like friends of yours now, up in arms.
No. I'll change my name and address.
Okay.
So thanks again for joining us on this two-part series on Danish football. We have some interesting podcasts coming up on entirely different things, maybe some more book reviews and also some more studies of games. So check out in your newsfeed and like and subscribe on all our social media. And if you want, tell a friend about the podcast. That would be good.
Thank you. See you. Bye.
Podcast Network.